أعوذ من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. وصلي اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. الحمد لله. The surah that we were looking at the other night, Surah Al-Hujurat, is number 49 in the Quran. And the word Al-Hujurat, the singular is Hujara, and it means room, or it actually, the root word of it is, means to constrain something, to prevent something. Mahjur is something that's restricted, so you can't get to it. And the idea is that the four walls of a quarter prevent people from getting to it. And the houses of the Prophet ﷺ were called al-hujurat. And I'd mentioned earlier that there were nine of these houses that were constructed next to the masjid, and then they were later incorporated into the masjid and during the time of the tabi'een. And Sa'id ibn Musayyib lamented the fact that the original hujarat were actually destroyed, because he had hoped that people could come and see how the Prophet ﷺ had lived in the simplicity in which he lived, because people had become quite wealthy at that time. There were a lot of mansions and an immense amount of wealth had come into the ummah. And the Prophet ﷺ said that it is not poverty that I fear for you, it's actually wealth. It's having too much, not having too little. So the hujarat are really the domestic environs in which the Prophet ﷺ lived. And this is where the Quran was revealed. It was where he spent much of his time. And it was also a place where his character was most revealed, because the nature of the domestic domain is that people are themselves. People have public persona and they have private persona. It's the nature of being human. What you do with your family is not necessarily what you do in public. When you're at work, you have certain behavioral patterns that might not necessarily be the same ones that you use at home. And so the home will always reveal the essential nature of a person. You can have good character at the office, but if your character is not good, where that's going to be revealed is the home. And this is why inside the home, nobody knows a person better than their spouse, because that's where they see the real person. And what's so extraordinary about the hujarat is initially they were open. See, the houses were actually open. And it's one of the things that when I lived with Bedouin people, what really struck me about Bedouin people is their houses are open. There's no walls. A Bedouin domicile is open. And so you see them. There's an adab that goes with being a Bedouin. So you don't look into people's tents when you pass by. You could, but you don't, because that's the adab. And there was an adab in this domestic situation in Medina, but when the verse of the hijab came down, it was actually to create domestic space that was private. So it was the initiation of private space. And that's why the curtain, there were originally not curtains on these domiciles. So people would pass by, and if they didn't have adab, they would look in, and the Prophet ﷺ's household was exposed. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded a covering to come down to create that private space. So this is an important aspect of Islam, is a respect of private space, which is why you ask permission to go into a house. You don't just go into a house. You have to do istidhan. You ask permission. It's also why when you're in a house, you sit where the person tells you to sit. You don't sit where you want to sit. You actually take the host lead, because he knows best the awrat al-bayt, the exposed aspects of the house. And there's also respect in terms of just the adab of being in a house. What this surah is about is adab. And what Islam is really about is adab. The secret of adab is that adab is putting things in their proper place. That's the essence of adab. Now, in America, if you look in the 19th century, I inherited some of the books of my great-grandmother, her school books. And I actually have some report cards from her school. This is 1880s. And the very first thing that children were graded on in the 19th century was comportment. We don't even know that word anymore. Seriously, that word's not even, it's no longer, how many people know what comportment is? Seriously. Imam Zaid knows what it means. What's it mean, really? Exactly, it's adab. It's how you carry yourself. So, I mean, we've even lost the word. That's the word for adab, and it's no longer even used in the English language. I mean, that tells you a lot about what's happened to our culture. So that was the first thing they were graded on, was how they carried themselves. Now, the word ظلم in Arabic is وَضَعُ شَيْءٍ فِي غَيْرِ مَحَلِّهِ. Oppression is to put something where it doesn't belong. Now, in Arabic, if you want to know what the word for an erudite person, like a man of letters or a woman of letters, a poet, somebody who is trained in literary skills, they call it adib. That's what a literary person is, an adib. And adib, the reason they're adib is because they are people that know how to put words in their proper order, in the best order. That's what somebody who knows language well, they're capable of placing words in the best order. There's different ways that you can say something. And the more concise, the more to the point, and also the more rhetorically compelling the way something is stated is. All of those have an effect on the listener. So that's what an adib is. An adib is somebody who puts things in their proper place. And that's what adab is. And what Surah Al-Hujurat is about, really, is about putting things in their proper place. It's about putting things in their proper place. So we looked at the beginning of this extraordinary surah of the Quran, in which the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says is He calls the believers, do not precede Allah and His Messenger in anything that you do. Don't do it before them. And it was mentioned that this was revealed, some say, about the sacrifice. They sacrificed before the Prophet ﷺ, also speaking before he speaks. One of the things that the Sahaba, if they were asked a question, what did they say to the Prophet? He would ask them a question, what would they say? Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam. It's like, I'm not going to answer if you're in the room.